Ahoy, mateys, and welcome to another swashbuckling adventure on the high seas. This is the Into the 98 podcast, where we have 98 cards because Commander is number one and two. We're doing partners today. I'm your hostess with the Moses Necrozak, joined as always by the Admiral of the SS Enchantments, Brian. Yes,
I like that one.
The only woman to eat the counter fruit, Hope.
Oh, hello.
And the only man able to sell the Grand Line without an eternal log post, Dan. How are you guys doing?
So good now.
I enjoyed that introduction immensely.
I was like, did he get our name wrong?
As soon as he said 98, I was like, he gets it. Like, it's a partner.
This guy. All right.
I actually thought that he was making fun of like Connor and Jacobs. Like,
oh, yeah. Give no attention to that. Zach, tell him what we're talking about today. You said obviously partners, but what's going on?
We are talking the best pirate commanders out of the new Commander Legends.
Yarr. And here's the thing, though. There are a great many pirates.
But these are the best.
Number one and number two.
Into the 99 yes. Does not endorse this statement.
I also have a favorite that is not one of these, but I'm happy that you're happy, Zach.
Elsior should be a pirate.
Yeah.
We can't all be right all the time, except for me.
I like Breaches. So
Breaches
and Malcolm are good, but that's not who we're here to talk about today.
No, we're here to talk about someone else. Whom or who?
Whom? Them? They? Our first commander of the partner pairing is Dargo the Shipwrecker. Six in red for a legendary creature, giant pirate. It's a 7/5. As additional cost to cast this spell, you may sacrifice any number of artifacts and or creatures. This spell costs 2 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this way, and 2 less to cast for each other artifact or creature you sacrifice this turn. It has trample and partner.
Nice.
Venaz.
I hate it.
And the second pirate aboard this ship of insanity is Kesket, the Flesh Sculptor.
You should alter it, just straight out cross out Artificer and write Pirate.
I will.
I think that will be the best, yes, with a pirate hat. But it's a legendary creature, human artificer for 1/3. You can tap and sacrifice 3 other artifacts and or creatures. You look at the top 3 cards of your library, put 2 of them into your hand and the other into your graveyard, and it has partner.
That I love.
So today we're here to lie, cheat, steal, kill, and win. That is the game plan for this deck.
Aggressive. I'm very upset that Plunder was not one of those.
So I'm a big Run the Jewels fan, and this is just a nod to one of their songs. So it worked, you know.
Cool guy. Zach, you're a cool guy.
This is a cool place.
This is a cool place.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So you guys know, one of my favorite things to do in Magic, reanimate. And with this partner pairing, as soon as
I saw them. What? What?
Three things I like to do in Magic. Reanimate, steal stuff, clone stuff.
Reanimate.
it's all kind of the same thing, really, if you think about it. Yeah. But we're doing 2 of the 3 in this episode today.
Zach playing Rakdos, somehow still playing Abzan.
Yes. <that's>, can't endorse that. So when I originally saw these two, I saw them one at a time, obviously, because how spoilers worked. And I was really drawn to Kesket because the Phyrexian vibes. And then I saw Drago, and my gears got spinning with how Drago works. And
Dargo.
Dargo, Drago. You gotta throw the Drago
into it.
Yeah. Army hearties.
Well, with how they work, I feel like it's a really good sacrifice deck. We're not doing so much attrition based stuff like I would normally do. Here, I just want to steal everyone's thing, like a mutiny. You know, like we're pirates. We're gonna steal people's stuff, hit them with it, and then probably sacrifice it for better value than what they're getting.
Yeah, you know, so that's just casual murder.
Don't you tell me what value I get and don't get.
I'm gonna tell you what value you're not gonna get. I want to see Brian cast Zavala to parlay, and we're not parlaying. I'm just gonna take Zavala.
You don't know me.
Yeah, you can't just parlay.
No, this is a mutiny.
Pirate.
This is.
I think that's part of pirate law.
Yeah, you gotta follow the pirate law. You can't mess around with the parlay.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
We're Phyrexian pirates. We don't have to do anything.
Oh, true.
That we don't want to do. There's a whole clause in the pirate handbook. You must not have read it.
What do you want to show us first?
I'm going to follow the lines of the song. We're going to go with lying first. And for this deck, that means reanimation. So looking at the top of this list, we have Aghanim's Awakening, which if I can slot this card in a deck, I have just been forced in every black deck because it's that good.
Homeboy, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's one of the Motive double face cards, whatever. It's X black, black, black for a sorcery. You return from your graveyard to the battlefield any number of target creature cards that each have a different CMC X or less. So if I'm paying 5 black, 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 I can get, you know, 5 different creatures with different CMCs, 5 or less. It's really good for this deck. Oh, it's fine.
I don't like you getting that much stuff back.
It's pretty sweet. And if you really need it, it's a black land that you pay 3 to come in on tap.
I do love those, like the ability for a big game ender or an early game whoops. Mm-hmm. Hey, Zach, what is this? You told me 34 lands.
All right. I'm only ever going to play this as Aghanim's Awakening, ever. I'm never not going to play it as this. The art on the back is phenomenal.
Where's that red flip land? He's cheating.
Right? The red flip land. If I was playing the best red card ever printed, Brass Chaunter, then yes, the red flip land, fine. Not in this deck.
He's on this whole Brass Chaunter kick.
Brass Chaunter's dope.
Were you not there for me doming someone for 164, Brian?
Were you the person?
No, I was already dead.
Okay. <I'm just looking.
laughs> Spoilers for
I'm someone.
spoilers for the next YouTube video.
It's me.
So the next card on the lie list is Apprentice Necromancer. It's 1 and a black for a 1/1 zombie wizard. You can pay a black and tap and sacrifice Apprentice Necromancer. You return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature gains haste. At the beginning of the next end step, sacrifice it. I was originally going to do like a whole like Sundial of the Infinite to stop these kind of effects, but I wanted to be more aggressive. So these kind of exile effects you'll see in the deck, there's not very many, but Apprentice Necromancer is just too efficient to not play for what I want to do in this deck.
It's valid.
It's a good one. I love the next card.
Took the words right out.
You go ahead, Hope. You go with this one.
Cute. I was just going to say, like, the next one is a kind of a card that I have a little bit of a, like, a special love for, and that's Chainer Nightmare Adept. Or Adept, I don't know. So it's 2 in Rakdos for a 3/2 legendary human minion. Discard a card, you may cast a creature card from your graveyard this turn. Activate this ability only once per turn, which again, right in line with Zach's reanimation theme. And whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, if you didn't cast it from your hand, it gains haste until the next turn, which is...
It's a great toolbox just rolled into one card.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, I'm pretty sure I run into my Trin Sylvar just again so we can get stuff back.
It is a human.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool too is that if we play this first and play one of our commanders, they're not being cast from our hands, so we can, as soon as, you know, it gives our creatures haste essentially, so I can already tap with Keskit or I can go ahead and swing in with Dargo.
I actually didn't even realize that, but you are right. Yeah, it is not from your hand.
I didn't even think about that either.
So you can Mega Dargo Bunk. Dargo go slap.
Dargo bonk.
We are wrecking ships.
I love it.
Dread Return, love it. It is return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Flashback, sacrifice 3 creatures, and if Zach is stealing things, then that obviously works really well in his favor.
Oh, yeah, I don't like sacrifice that. Other people's crap. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Nope. So this is a card that I didn't know. I didn't know this card existed until recently, so now I'm in love with it and I'm putting it in a bunch of decks. That's Footsteps of the Goryeo. It's 2 and a black for a sorcery. It's an arcane. Return target creature card from your graveyard to the play. Sacrifice that creature at the end of turn.
Solid card.
We don't have the typical like exile if like we do with a lot of unearth type effects. So this one's nice. I enjoy it.
I really like that card, and it also functions really well with your ability to sacrifice things just in general.
That's from one of the Kamigawa sets?
Yeah.
Yep. That also falls in line with the next card, Goryeo's Vengeance. It's 1 to black for an instant arcane. Return target legendary creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step, and you can splice into arcane for 2 and a black, which is actually relevant with those two cards.
Yep.
for anyone who doesn't know, as you cast an arcane spell, you may reveal this card from your hand and pay its splice cost. If you do, you add this effect to that spell.
Oh, cool. So you can double down.
Double mm-hmm. down.
Respect.
There's a lot of legendary creatures in this deck, so Goryeo's Vengeance has a lot of different targets, and it's a very, and once again, you know, it's another very good, like, if we need a blocker that we don't suddenly have, it's there, or if we just can win the game or close the gap really quickly, it's a good card for that.
Yeah, totally.
The next one, I really do love Victimize, the choose two target mm-hmm. creatures in your graveyard, sack a creature. If you do, return the chosen card to the battlefield, cards to the battlefield tapped. It gives you your sacrifice, which you need for your commander. It gives you the ability to just bring two things back, a two for one, a three mana. It's such a good reanimation card.
So good. And it just got reprinted in Commander Legends.
Exactly. A lot of people didn't know Victimize was a card. So anytime I can share the good word of Victimize, I like to. And this is a deck that super functions off of it.
Me too, Zach. Literally me too. Literally me the other day. Somebody was talking about Victimize. They're looking for a Sack of Lead. And I was like, have you heard of our Lord and Savior?
Victimize?
So I'm like, it's cheap. It rules. You'll love it.
Well, and especially with Chainer, the ability to just discard something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Throw away some big old shouldered type things. Gross.
And the final card for our life stack is Zombify. It's 3 and a black for a sorcery. Return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Very clean, very easy, and for 4 mana. This could be Rise from the Grave, but I kind of like Zombify for just being a little bit cheaper.
Valid.
True.
So let's talk about the stealing aspect. There's a lot of cards that steal. So we kind of have
I'm not a fan of the number of cards you have here for that.
So there's a couple different, like when I was thinking about it, there's a couple different ways I put this into this section. So we have our threaten effects, like active aggression. It's 3 and then a Phyrexian red for an instant. You gain control of target creature from target creature and opponent controls until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn. So we have threaten effects like that, but we also have stuff like Animate Dead, which lets us steal creature cards from other people's graveyards.
I do enjoy that Animate Dead is not just your graveyard, it's mm-hmm. anyone's, because what? Pretty sure we got destroyed in one game where someone reanimated like one of the big win cons from someone else's graveyard.
Hilarious.
It was the Anawan deck. They reanimated Craterhoof.
Yep. Big bonks. Big
someone
bills.
Else had a Craterhoof hook.
Oh, I'm just like,
you're like, how does Craterhoof fit into Anawan? I've never seen a green Anawan in my life.
But he's always Demir. All right, no, I see you, because.
Our good buddy from Elder Dragon Skyplaner, Andrew, he milled Matt, and he milled a Craterhoof, and he reanimated him, and I'm pretty sure, was that the turn you died, Brian?
That's when I died.
Yeah.
Rip, Brian.
I'm pretty sure he hit me for 56 damage.
Mm-hmm. That is less than I would have expected.
I was going to say, that's not horrible.
There wasn't that many creatures on the board.
I was going to say, I'm like, that sounds like just a normal hit. In Anawan. So
keeping up with our threaten effects, we have Act of Treason. It's 2 and a red for a sorcery. You gain control of target creature until end of turn. On top of that creature, it gains haste until end of turn.
I'm assuming that you're going to sacrifice that creature after.
You know, probably.
Things and stuff.
We're definitely
going to do that.
The ability for him to have his sacrifice ready to go is a good politics tool. Like, hey, you swing that at me, I'm taking it, and I will throw it in the garbage.
I will pick it up and rip it in half.
So we talked about Animate Dead. Now we're on to Beacon of Unrest. It's 3 black for a sorcery. Put target artifact or creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Shuffle Beacon of Unrest into its owner's library.
Love it.
I love all of the shuffle cards.
Me too.
Yeah, just being able to get more use out of it.
So far, like, I feel like this whole deck tech so far, I've just been like, wow, I love that card. But that's honestly how I feel. Like, I'm just excited. Like, these are things that I'm into personally. So
this deck hopes and built it.
Yeah. I'm excited to pilot it. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. Like Dan said, it's very political.
Well,
honestly.
Before we go on, like, I was talking to Zach yesterday and I looked at Dargo and I looked at it as the worst legendary in the set. I looked at its mana cost of 7, and I just didn't see anything playable in it. I was like, nope, don't want this one bit. Like, I didn't like it, and the more I've seen him building this deck, the more interesting. Go ahead, Hope Kraken.
Okay, thanks.
Anyways, the more I've been interested in building the deck, because the ability to get that much of a reduction, if you had to sacrifice to just him, then sure, it could be a little worse, but it's for everything you sacrifice. So treasure tokens, anything like that. Like, he has a really, really cool ability. And having the political tool, like you were saying, of being able to take people's things and throw them away. Well, all right, are you gonna mess around or no?
Are you going to parlay or are you going to aggression?
Yeah.
Be aggressive.
Me putting Darksteel or Blightsteel Colossus down? Are you sure?
Where's that blight still going? Do you want it to go back at yourself?
I'll swing at you. Active aggression. No.
The next card, I've just seen it ruin decks, and it's Captivating Crew.
Love it.
3 and a red. Human Pirate. Again, 3 and a red. Gain control of target creature and opponent controls until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn, and activate this ability only anytime you could cast a sorcery.
I wish you could do it instant speed, but I understand why you can't do it instant
speed. Yeah. It would be ridiculous.
It would no longer be a 35-cent rare.
It doesn't tap. Banned.
Yeah.
It does not. I don't know that would be banned. That's disgusting.
It would be real strong.
Yeah,
you could, expensive.
If you have, so like, I could see it being like a big green red deck, and you just like, I have 30 lands. How many creatures am I taking?
I have 30 lands and they all tap 4.
Yeah, right?
True. Gruesome Encore is also in the list. It's 2 and a black for a sorcery. Put target creature card from an opponent's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Gains haste. Exile at the beginning of the next end step. If that creature would leave the battlefield, exile it instead of putting it anywhere else. I love it. There's no saving the card. It is a good tool to bring you something. It sacrifices if you want to sacrifice things, and it gets rid of something problematic in a graveyard. Because the graveyard is a resource.
Yes.
It always very much is. And I'm going to try to outuse it more than anyone else.
Well, and the answer to getting something out of someone's graveyard is important, because there's a lot of graveyard shenanigans are just becoming more and more popular. The more Moldrotha, even that the new Mardu enchantment one, like that's another graveyard one.
Gwen?
Oh.
Sure. Whatever you want to say, buddy.
This is my third Gwen Xbox.
The next card's another card I feel like people don't really know exists, and you definitely should. It's Helm of Possession.
Volrath, yeah, up on that art.
It's so good. It's a 4-cost artifact. You may choose not to untap Helm of Possession during your untap phase. You can pay 2 and tap it to sacrifice a creature. Gain control of target creature as long as you control Helm of Possession and Helm of Possession remains tapped.
I don't like that.
I love that card. It's cool.
That's very cool.
Especially if you make artifacts indestructible. Like, Do not enjoy that at all.
Well, most of the time, then you take it, then you sacrifice your thing, and then you untap it, take another thing, sacrifice it.
Right? Yeah, a two mana tap steal is real solid.
Yeah.
We have the ability to sacrifice a creature, which is going to enable our deck in a bunch of different ways. But like just being able, like Dan said, oh, I got this Blightsteel Colossus. For the good of the table, I'm just going to take
that's crazy.
Yeah, who would do that?
Yeah, who would play that card?
Daniel.
And I don't know if there's any erratus to it. This doesn't say it has to be done at sorcery speed.
No, I think you can just do it whenever, like just an animal.
Tap, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Before we go on, I really want to say I love all of the guild's Rakdos artwork that they made this year.
Oh,
yes.
It just looks so good. Was it this year or was it last year?
Yeah. Last year.
Time flies.
Yeah, beginning of this year was Theros, doggy. Oof, is right.
I wanted to put this next card in a deck for the longest time, but I just didn't have a Rakdos deck that really wanted it. And this one.
The Rakdos put the fun in funeral.
I was just reading that too. I love them so much. The cult is everything that I love.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take this one, Hope?
I do. It's Macabre Mockery. 2 and Rakdos for an instant. Put target creature card from an opponent's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It gets 2-0 and gains haste until the end of turn. Stack at the beginning of the next end step. Which slaps. And it has very cool circus themey Ravnica Allegiance artwork, and I'm just love it.
Next card is Mask of Mutiny.
Nope.
Two Mark. And a red. What?
Mark.
Oh, whoops.
Brian's on a laptop.
Yeah.
Brian
got itty bitty screen.
Also just like can't read.
Yeah,
let's
Gwen.
Call it Gwen.
He's
it's
learning.
Gwen of Mutiny.
Gwen of Mutiny.
Mark of Mutiny. Two and a red. Sorcery. Gain control of target creature until end of turn. Put a +1/+1 counter on it and untap it. That creature gains haste until end of turn.
Yo, that's also sweet.
I got a unrelated jump in. We tease Brian. One of the people we used to play with like just also said things ridiculously, and it just always brings us back to a good time. Yeah. So I'm sure people in your playgroup have mispronounced things. Like, no one's trying to actually be mean to Brian, but like the story I wanted to just quickly jump in is somebody adamantly argued with us for over a year that it was Genesis, and he would not listen to a single other person. Like, he asked librarians and stuff. He's like, is it actually Genesis? They're like, no. He's like, yeah. I'm calling it Genesis. So he would always Genesis wave, and we would all burst out laughing.
So, yeah, that's still what we call it. We call it Genesis wave, Genesis Hydra.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just what it do.
I'm going to have to add that to my vocabulary now.
I don't know. It's just funny. Yeah. Like, we're definitely not trying to just hate on Brian. It's not my fault that Brian can't read. But
anyone who plays with me knows that I say things really stupidly all the time.
Hence Menace.
Yeah, Menace. I always call it Menace.
Right. Mark of Mutiny is kind of cool because it's another political card, because I can take something, hit some, you know, I could take one of Dan's creatures.
I'll make it stronger, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, I'm going to take your creature to swing through, and then I'll put a +1/+1 counter on it. Like, just don't hit me.
Hey.
Okay, you know?
With Blackjack.
You play it way nicer than me. I'd be like, I'm going to take Marin. And I'm going to swing Marin. Yeah, swing Marin at you, but it's stronger.
You can do that too.
I dare you to swing it back.
Yeah.
Love Necromancy. Mm-hmm. Two and a black for an enchantment. Yeah. You can do it at instant speed, but you have to sack the creature. The rat is weird, but you can play it as an instant if you do sacrifice it at the end step. When you play it, target creature in any graveyard. When it comes into play, put that creature into play as though it were just played. And Necromancy becomes a creature enchantment that targets that creature. It is some old, old card. It's just an enchant creature.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a nightmare to read. It's from Visions. There's like 14 lines of text. It's an absolute disaster. And the artwork is also a disaster, but the card itself is good.
So my thing is it a shrunken head?
I don't know what it is.
I hope so.
Or is it someone with actually green hair that's just like...
I think it's being pulled out of the ground.
Yeah, it looks
or something.
Like a zombie head coming out of the ground. Yeah.
Regardless, I don't like it.
Regardless, it'll haunt your dreams.
Let's move on to the girl with the weirdest knees.
I love Olivia. Olivia Voldaren. Two and Rakdos for a legendary vampire. 3/3 flying. You can pay one and a red, have it deal one damage to another target creature. That creature becomes a vampire in addition to its other types. Put a 1/1 counter on her, which is awesome. And then for 5/3 and 2 black, you gain control of target vampire for as long as you control Olivia.
I'd say that's a really neat mechanic. It's like a vampire biting.
I've wanted to make an Olivia deck for a long time that just like really focused on mana generating nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this just seemed like a good slot for her. Honestly, like, I was very excited. I've had this card for a while, and I've wanted to do something with her, but I just wasn't sure where, and this is the perfect shell for her.
She definitely rules. That's just a fact.
I never saw this card out of Eldraine, the Piper of the Swarm. I like how they took, like, a dark turn on that fairy tale or short story.
Piper, yeah.
Yeah, like, I really like it. So, Piper of the Swarm, it's one and a black human warlock. And rats you control have Menace, one and a black, and tap and create a 1/1 black rat creature token. 2/2 black to tap. Sacrifice 3 rats, gain control. I don't like this, Zach.
Of target creature. Love it.
Not a fan.
This is another card I've wanted to play with, but there just wasn't a deck that it felt like it made sense. And it kind of feels shoehorned in this deck because it's a little slow, but I just love the card. And
well,
but it seems like a good...
The nice thing is it's giving you things that you can sacrifice if you need something. Mm-hmm. For 2 mana, it's a nice little sink. It makes a decent blocker if I'm trying to swing out with something and you don't want to throw a good body in front of it.
That's what I was going to say. It's giving you nice little chump blockers.
Or something to get in on someone if they only have a single creature.
Yeah.
I like Piper the Swarm. I've wanted to make a rat deck for a long time.
Hell yeah, do it.
So easy.
Rats and cats.
Yeah. Here's my rat deck. Yeah, so this is a commander, and then I have 35
relentless rats.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for coming to the Deck Tech, guys.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Till next time.
Go ahead with this next one here.
Ooh, it's Rekasha. Rekasha. Debaser four, 2 black. For 6/6 cat demon, which I'm super stoked about. It's from Commander Legends. Whenever it attacks, put target creature card from defending player's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Amazing. And it has Encore for 6 and a black. And Encore, if anybody doesn't know, exile this card from your graveyard for each opponent. Create a token copy that attacks that opponent this turn if able. They gain haste, sack them a beam the next end step, activate only as a sorcery, which again, it's automatic sacrifice. It's big bonks.
Encore is a very cool mechanic.
Would you get a creature from each?
Yeah, because it puts it doesn't do it like a combat thing. It puts it in, then they have to attack this turn if able. Mm-hmm. So you put them in first, and then they have to attack when you move to combat. So you'll get one for each attack.
I like that.
But you can only do it as a sorcery.
Yeah, where it's not like a Hero of Bladehold where it puts them in tapped and attacking, so they're never declared attacking.
It has to, to come in during a main phase.
That would fit quite well in Marin.
Indeed,
indubitably.
Yep. Encore it, and then put the Myriad Sword in it, Blade of Selves.
Mm.
I'm attacking everyone with these, no matter what.
Indubitably.
Reanimate, solid, can't go wrong.
Yep. Classic.
Rise of the Dark Realms.
Also classic.
I really, really like the artwork in Rise of the Dark Realms. I really was happy that they reprinted it, and it's still expensive. Like, it's a pricey reanimate card, but there's a reason. It's 7 black, put all creatures from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control.
Liliana gets everything.
I like that it's like the zombies carrying her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really nice. I like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
you got Shouldered in here. I love it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Has to I have be. A foil one. So I need to play one. It.
When you're a bad person.
Swamp Walk. At the beginning of your upkeep, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
How underrated are walks?
Yeah, Swamp Walk is good.
Right?
Very, very underrated.
With an Urborg?
At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, they sack a creature. So you get something back every turn. They lose something every turn. Solid.
Sounds as all fair, the predators.
Right? Hilarious.
All the predators are good cards.
When you're the one playing them.
Yeah, they're all good. Even the red one.
Yeah.
What is the red one?
Urabrusk.
Never heard of it.
Wow. It makes everything opponents control enter tapped. Everything you have haste.
Ah, okay. I can get behind that.
It's a fist.
Yeah, it's not. It's generally the combo piece in the Primal Surge style decks where you get your whole deck in one go, and then somebody just ends the turn after the ability so you don't get any attack and you draw yourself out and lose.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. It's also like, it's definitely no Elesh Norn, but like, it's still very good.
Standalone, it's pretty strong. The red is the weakest Praetor.
Yeah, yeah. But
also, it's the only one that won't make your friends furious.
It's also the best boy.
This is how I play every game, Threaten. It's 2 and a red. Untap target creature, gain control until end of turn, gains haste until end of turn.
It's very true. You do threaten everyone.
I threaten everyone.
Yeah, literally Daniel. Yeah, Daniel the card. That's actually, the artwork on is actually designed after him as a child.
So this is another card I just recently learned about, so I had to put it in this deck. It's Treacherous Urge. It's 4 and a black for an instant. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You may put a creature card from it into play under your control. That creature has haste. Sacrifice it at the end of the turn.
I'm going to be honest with you, Zach. Mm-hmm. That would make me furious.
I want so badly for someone to tutor.
Oh, like, I get this Thassa's Oracle. Why don't I?
After all, why shouldn't I?
I want someone to tutor a big, big beefy boy, and then I can just...
You're talking Hope, mine. Yes.
Stop.
I'm going to get my dragon.
Stop being so aggressive. I don't play dragons anymore.
You should.
I would love to. But everybody knows they're good now.
Are you going to play this today?
Oh, I don't know.
Do it, coward.
I don't know. Anyways.
So that was our steel section.
It was very aggressive.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that.
I'm mildly triggered, but I...
I like it.
I never said I didn't like it.
So there are more things to do with the creatures that we steal outside of just...
Killing them?
People. Yeah. So let's talk about the cheat section. So the first card... is Fling. It's 1 to red for an instant. As additional cost to cast a spell, sack a creature. Fling deals damage equal to the sacrificed creature's power to any target.
It's awesome.
So that big creature you just stole.
I love Fling. Fling's so good.
Yeah. What's the one that Jacob always used to link?
Thud.
Oh,
no, it's in Kresh is what he does.
Oh, Kresh, yeah, because Kresh gets so big. And
someone tries to kill it, and he'll fling it at them.
That's so funny.
I love Kresh so much.
Oh, it's iconic.
Once the Ozolith came out, that deck just too much.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Next up, we got Malakir.
Zach, this is another land. I'm watching you.
It's never going to be a land.
It is one
black. We're up to 36.
And choose target creature. You lose 2 life. Until end of turn, that creature gains when this creature... What?
Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please.
When this creature dies, return to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control.
There we go. Thank you. I'm still going through my English classes.
Sacrifice is dies. It is very good. You get rid of something. Everyone thinks, oh, it's finally gone. No.
Just kidding.
It's good to enable our own like making Dargo cheaper. It's good for any like additional costs that we need to play for, you know, sacrificing creature like Village Rites to draw a card or draw 2 cards, I should say. So it's fun.
The next card, Mind Slash, a very fun enchantment that people don't play very often.
Ever.
One black.
Literally black. Never seen it.
It's a very cool card. Blacks, one black mana, sack a creature. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. Choose a card from it. That player discards that card. Play it only when you could a sorcery. Specifically is not land, and you can just be a bad person with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can throw their lands out.
I need this enchantment now.
Yeah.
We'll go great and Gwen.
I hate you so much.
The
artwork is Brian pulling out how to pronounce an H.
The artwork is also Brian understanding how to play Expedition Map.
Twin is what's next.
So this is another situation where I want to be able to steal someone's creature, sacrifice that, hit them with their creature, sacrifice that creature, then take a card from their hand. Well, just want to do all that.
It's a very gross white border card there.
Yeah. I love white border and gold border cards very much. So they're in here.
I have no preference at all for the borders.
No, same here.
As long as they fit within the sleeve, we're good to go.
Yeah.
This is another one of my silver favorite border? Cards.
Whatever.
Yeah. Play whatever you want.
Just get hope to
Infinity Lotus.
I put this in every black deck now because it deserves to be, and it's gotten cheaper, so it's easier to afford. It's Phyrexian Reclamation. It's one black for an enchantment. You can pay one to black and 2 life. Return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeet.
Super good.
We're just doing it again. Like whatever it is.
It definitely has, I'm sure I've talked about it before, but I'm going to say it again. It has my work motto on it. Death is no excuse to stop working. Boss, I'm feeling really sick today. Read the card, boy.
Wow.
So next
consult
up.
Consult a flavor text.
So next up we have Primal Amulet. Costs 4. Instants and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a charge counter on Primal Amulet. Then if there are 4 or more charge counters on it, you may remove those counters and transform it.
And when you do, it becomes better, much better. Primal Wellspring. So it taps to add a mana. And if you use that mana for an instant or sorcery, you copy it.
This card is in my top 10 favorite cards in all of Magic the Gathering.
I just don't like double stealing spells.
Yeah. Double down.
That's what we're doing.
Double down. I also like that it gives you the mana of any color. Even if you flipped it and it was like one colorless, and if you use that, copy it.
That would still be good.
But the ability for it to give you any color and the copy effect, and you don't have to use it just for instance sorceries. Primal Amulet's so good.
Yeah. Because if it was limited to you could only use it for instance and sorceries, it'd still slap.
Do you know what? I'm still surprised that that has a cost of only, what, $9?
Yeah, for anyone who can see the table behind 15. Me, I'm in the midst of putting together 11 decks, and I have a bunch of Brian's trades on the table, and Primal Amulet is in that trade pile.
Heck yeah.
Nice. I was not even aware I had one.
Thank you, Brian. A man of the people.
I try.
So the next card that we've got out here is Rakdos Right Knife. For 2, it's an artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets 1/0 for each blood counter on Rakdos Right Knife and has tap and sack, put a blood counter on it. Tap sacrifice a creature. put Blood Cantor on Rakdos Right Knife, and for Rakdos colors, sacrifice Rakdos Right Knife. How many times can I say Rakdos Right Knife? A target player sacrifices a permanent for each blood counter
That's
on it.
Hilarious.
It is hilarious.
I love it.
Target player, board wipe target player has to sacrifice all their lands.
You take all their creatures from them, then make them, yeah.
Target player cries.
Solid. It's me. It's me. I'm target player.
It's me.
I love it.
We're not going to be making any friends with this deck. I'm just letting you guys know that now.
That's fine.
Like, this is what we're doing, boys.
So, sometimes it's got to be that way.
I'm going to have to find us a third person for our Tuesday stream.
Speaking of Rakdos, Rakdos Lord of Riots, black, black, red, red.
Heck yeah.
6/6 demon for 4. Solid. You can't cast it unless an opponent has lost life this turn. Flying Trample. Creature spells you cast are 1 less to cast each turn for each life fear opponent's left loss.
This card has demolished me. Every single time I've played against
Rakdos
it.
Rakdos slaps.
Yep. I love him. I have been literally seeing this Rakdos and seeing everything with the Commander Lit. I'm just like, I have to do it. I have to make the Rakdos deck.
You have been talking about it for quite some time.
For a long time.
So with Rakdos Lord of Riots, we typically see it with a lot of like big, creature heavy decks.
Demons,
but
Kalia?
Exactly. But for this deck, I just felt like, making our Commander cheaper is always good, but just having that extra additional like 1 red or black or what have you is kind of really important. It's just kind of eking out the value because a lot of our steel effects are sorcery based, so having the extra mana to be able to do multiple things a turn at second main phase and what have you is important. So if we want to be able to get big swings in and then outvalue our opponents, we have to kind of play cards like this that are going to cheat us into the later game.
Yeah, which is totally fair.
I love the next card. Love it.
I'll let you pronounce it.
Rogrok, son of Roga. Yeah, it is the coolest partner from the whole set. Nobody needs to worry about Jeweled Lotus letting you cast this commander turn 1 because you can just do it every game no matter what. Zero cost kobold, first strike menace trample with partner. Two of the decks behind me that I'm building, I said, are both based on this commander.
He is a 0/1, though.
He is a 0/1, but that doesn't matter.
So far.
Strength is relative.
There's a lot of utility for this guy in this deck specifically. Like, I like the card a lot, so I want to try to shoehorn it into a lot of decks, but there's something to be said about having a zero-cost creature on the battlefield already. It turns our village rights into a turn 1, draw 2 cards, yep. And sometimes, like I said, we want to eke out value more than our opponent, so having a zero-cost creature to sacrifice for, 2
you
mana...
You want to kill my son?
Altar.
Yeah,
yes, I want him to die multiple
times. Do you
not remember,
Hope? Zach said he was going to turn it into a new squee.
But we'll get to where Rogrok can be used later in different ways other than just squeeing it.
Yeah, to attack.
So next up we have the man, the myth, the legend, the first vampire, I'm pretty sure. Sengir the Dark Baron. Costs 4/2 black. Legendary creature, vampire noble. And he has flying, and whenever another creature dies, you put 2/+1/+1 counters on Sengir the Dark Baron. Whenever another creature
another player loses the game, you gain life equal to that player's life total as the turn began.
That's a little bit foolish.
It's very fun.
I mean,
and partner. So theoretically, you could play both the creatures we just talked about as your commanders for this deck, and I still feel like the deck would function how you want it to, but I like the two that we have listed already better.
The next one up is actually kind of a personal favorite, and it's Thornbite Staff.
Because of Atla.
Yeah, so it's 2 mana. Equipped creature has, for 2 and a tap, this creature deals 1 damage to target creature or player, and whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from play, untap this creature. So it's pretty sweet, since you're going to be doing all that sacrificing, it's really easy to go like, blah, 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 with the tap on tap.
Yep.
And whenever a shaman creature comes into play, you may attach Thornbite Staff to it, whether or not that's relative.
I didn't realize that it's a shaman
equipment.
Yeah.
Like, different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool, right?
The tribal stuff is very cool. I really hope we see more of it soon.
Tribal Artifact is a card type for Vampire Goyf Hawk.
Nice.
So this deck, as far as I know, there's nothing Infinite that we're going to be doing. Basically, I just want the most value out of Keskhet because it is our sacrifice outlet in the command zone. And this lets Keskhet do that, you know? We can sacrifice the creatures to do it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, bucko.
Undercity Informer. Mm-hmm. 2 and a black. Human Rogue, 2/3. Pay 1, sack a creature. Target player reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a land. Then put those cards in the graveyard. Very solid hate card.
And, you know, a lot of our effects that steal from the graveyard, steal from any graveyard. And, you know, why not see what's in someone's deck and help them get a land, too, you know?
Gift them a land.
It does not gift them a land. It will also mill the land.
Well, I mean, they'll see it at least, so they know if they're going to, you know, not draw it.
Bye-bye, Gaia's Cradle, you fool.
Sucks to suck.
So that is our cheat effect. So now we want to talk about our win cons, and then we can go into like the utility of ramp and draw. First card in our win con section is Bone Horde. It's a 4-cost artifact equipment. It has Living Weapon. Equipped creature gets +X/+X, where X is the number of creature cards in all graveyards, and it equips for 2.
Neat.
So most of these equipment, and by most, I mean all of them, is typically going to be put on Dargo.
And you're killing, like, everyone's creature. Like, I could just see this thing being huge.
Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said about, like, removing the Bone Horde to put on something else and the germ dying. Like, that's still a creature dying.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well aware.
It's just value.
I've been seeing this guy get put into a lot of decks. Night Howler, 1 black.
The same as Bone Horde.
Yeah, enchantment creature horror, and it has bestow of 2 or 3? 3 and a black?
Two black.
Not bad. And then Night Horror and enchanted creature each get +X/+X, where X is the number of creature cards in all graveyards.
So, again, same. It's just the aura version of Bone Horde.
Yep. Sadistic Glee is 1 black enchant creature. Whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from play, put a 1/1 counter on enchanted creature.
I've never seen this card before.
Which one? Trailblazers?
Yeah. No, Sadistic
Glee. Sadistic Glee is good.
And the art's cool. That's Grevin, and I don't really care about the other guy.
That's Gerard.
I know. I don't care about him. It has Grevin, though.
It's Gerard, though.
I don't know. Who cares? I like the Phyrexians a lot better.
First blood isn't as important as last blood.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Heavy metal. And then the last card in the win is, again, I assume, putting it on Dargo, which is the Trailblazer's boot, so it's got non-basic land, walk, whoop, 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 smash.
And what did we just talk about earlier?
Walk the rules.
Power, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The walk. Yeah.
So some of our draw effects kind of go back to what we were talking about earlier about sacrificing creatures. So the first one's Costly Plunderer. It's 1 and a black, also on theme for pirates. It's an instant.
It's on theme.
Mm-hmm. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice an artifact or a creature, and you draw 2 cards.
I love it.
Yep. I'm going to hit you with your stuff. I'm going to sacrifice it and draw 2 cards.
Just feel my Savala's going to die so many times.
Yeah. The Disciple of Bolas is also in that same kind of realm. You sacrifice a creature, then you gain X life, draw X cards, where X is its power. Yes, X is its power.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
When he enters the battlefield, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
No, it's good. I'm going to knock it.
I'm like, what's the problem?
How
you described it.
Sorry. You don't get to do whatever you want. Sorry.
Yeah, it just seemed like you sacrifice
a
creature.
I'm an idiot.
And you get to do it.
No, I'm just stupid.
I wouldn't say that.
Things can be 2 things.
I entirely would say that.
Rude.
And then obviously, Faithless Looting.
Faithless Looting.
On par with the Pirates. Cost 1 red, and draw 2 cards, mm-hmm. then discard 2 cards, and has that flashback.
Yep, just, you know, we're going to take and get more stuff. Next one is Greed. It's 3 and a black for an enchantment. You pay 1 black and 2 life and draw a card.
Wow.
Yeah, just simple, clean, and, you know.
Simple, rustic.
Gold and stuff.
So, like, I see the next one, Phyrexian Altar, 1, 2 black. What?
Phyrexian Arena.
Arena, sorry, not Altar.
All right.
Thank you. See,
they're just
we
different.
Can't read either.
They're just different.
But at the beginning of your upkeep, you draw a card and you lose a card. So I do see that you, like, a lot of the spells that you run, you're losing life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to offset that life loss? I'm assuming that you're going to be getting hit as well.
Probably. As it stands right now,
the game must end, have, Brian.
I understand that, but
steal things with lifelink.
Yeah.
I do a lot of like aristocrat style decks where I'm constantly eking out value, where I'm gaining a lot of life and, you know, losing life and using it as an resource. And in this deck, I really kind of didn't want to do that. I really just wanted to be like aggressive and put people in situations where, like, if you're not killing me, I'm gonna kill you.
So you're building a Dan deck, is what you're saying here.
Aggro.
You sound a Dan deck.
Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's one of those things where if you're going to attack me, you're going to regret it more than I will.
Yeah, it's me every time. Doesn't matter.
The next one, read the bones. Two and a black.
Read them.
Scry two, draw two, lose your life.
The boings.
Read my boings.
Solemn Simulacrum. It's a good thing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
When it enters, you search for a basic land, put it on tapped. When it dies, you draw a card. Simple.
Simple. Rustic.
Bring it back. Rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
Throw the possibility as an additional cost. Discard a card. Draw two.
Pretty sweet. And again, talking about that sweet, sweet Village Rise. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sack a creature, draw two cards, and it's a one black mango.
That's actually been one of the cards that a lot of the people in our Discord are mentioning. Like, why aren't more people running it?
Village Rights?
Yeah.
Well, not everyone likes to sack things.
I buy so many of these a week, honestly. I just love them. They go in so many different decks. It's super good. So in our ramp section, we don't have to cover everything. There's just a couple cards I want to go over. So we're running Ashnod's Altar and Phyrexian Altar.
There it is.
Brian, I knew it.
In the future.
Yeah, I'm not playing a deck and not running these two cards. Ashnod's Altar, three costs. Same thing for Phyrexian Altar. The difference being you sack a creature to Ashnod's and you get two colorless. Phyrexian Altar, you sack a creature to it, you gain a one mana of any color.
So good.
Brass's Bounty is the next card. It's six and a red, which is pretty steep for a sorcery, but for each land you control, you create a colorless treasure artifact token with sack it and add one mana of any color to your mana pool. On theme for pirates, on theme for Dargo to be able to sacrifice things. It's good.
Yeah.
Another one that I think is super like specific, kind of weird, is Burnt Offering, which is one black. It's an instant.
Let me interrupt your hope.
So this is back in the olden days when it was called an interrupt.
It should still be I'm just going to have to quickly interrupt you here.
Don't mind if I... Sorry, excuse me, guys.
Pardon me, please. Just got to quickly interrupt. That's English magic?
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
That's how Hayden plays?
Yeah.
I must interrupt.
So it's sack a creature to add that creature's casting cost in any combination of red and black to your mana pool, which is solid. Interesting. I should put that in Yurlock.
Yurlock.
I love him.
That's one of the cards, like, when I first started playing, like, it must have been, like, when I was in middle school, so grade 6, I'm assuming, like, 12, 13, and, like, going through all these old cards, I saw it, I just never really...
Burnt Offering?
Yeah.
It's Turnt Offering. This is Burning Man.
One that I also didn't even think to put in this deck, but, like, super makes sense in this deck, is Gadrak.
Love Gadrak. I really want to make a Gadrak deck at some point.
The Crown Scourge. So he's two and one red for a 5/4 dragon, which we love.
Flies.
Two, I'm sorry, but three mana for a flying 5/4, like, that's nasty. So he can't attack unless you control four more artifacts. And at the beginning of your end step, create a treasure token for each non-token creature that died this turn. So
solid.
You get the artifacts, you're making treasures, you're living your life.
He is really good in a sacrifice kind of deck.
Yep. Yeah, so solid.
He sacrifices things. Speaking of treasure tokens, things are sacrificed.
Treasure tokens? Pitiless Plunderer.
He just said that.
Oh, did he? I thought he said Brass's Bounty.
I said Brass's Bounty.
Well, yeah. Pitiless Plunderer is the same thing, except same thing. Not even close. Except, not a sorcery.
Except it's a creature, and it's
much
black.
Less mana, different color.
Yep. So anyways.
Essentially the same thing, though.
But it's exactly the same. So why am I even reading it?
When he was reading Brass's Bounty, I was looking at Pitiless Plunderer.
When another creature you control dies, you create a treasure. So, again, like we...
And Zach's like, all my creatures are dying.
Speaking of treasures again... Pitiless plunderer. No, ruthless knave. So it's another creature that this one you pay mana. You pay 3 mana, sack creature, create 2 colorless treasure tokens. Pretty sweet. And if for some reason you really need it, you can sack 3 treasures to draw. So I don't know why you would, but you can, I guess.
I have done it. It is very useful.
Well, when you're super desperate for draw, doggy, like, it's nice to have options. So.
Looking for that answer,
especially yeah. in black red.
Or when you have 700 treasures, like Brian.
Also that. But yeah.
Do you pay? No, never.
No, please no. And then on top of that, there's like some classic ramp with the talisman of the right colors, the signet, and the soul ring. So.
Mm-hmm.
The ring.
And as far as our mana goes, there's only a couple of things I really wanted to point out. I am running Cabal Coffers and Urborg so that, you know, when things get too expensive, we're able to, you know, pay for it with whatever. And it also helps too, like I was saying, you know, with a lot of our stuff being sorcery based, being able to make the mana we need to get to do everything, to have these really big turns and really put the fear in people. Like,
hell yeah.
we need the mana. So if you don't know, Urborg makes each land and a swamp in addition to other types, and Cabal Coffers, you can pay 2, tap, add 1 black mana to your mana pool for each swamp you control.
I see another couple lands here that are really notable. One being Mirren the Moaning Well, which adds a colorless, but more importantly, for 3 and a tap, you can sack a creature, and you gain life equal to the sack creature's toughness, which again is there another sack outlet. Yeah, and there's the life gain that'll kind of offset all of that life cost. One other one that I wanted to note was the Rogue's Passage. So again, that can also be slotted into a potential win con.
Dargo's the rogue now.
Yeah. He's a rogue giant pirate.
How does he fit in that doorway?
For 4 and a tap. So for 4 and a tap, target creature can't be blocked. It also adds a colorless, which again, like, just right on brand. So
we have High Market, which is another land that you can tap to add a colorless mana in your mana pool, and you can tap it to sacrifice a creature to gain a life. Mm-hmm. And Phyrexian Tower, tap it to add a colorless, and you can tap and sack a creature to add 2 black to your mana pool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Solid red.
And those are our notable land includes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very interesting deck. Like, even as much as I don't want to be on the opposing end of this, honestly, I'm interested to see how.
Honestly, it is also like a fairly good budget deck. The way that Zach has the list out right now, it's around almost $500, but a lot of that can be taken out in some of those lands. Like Cabal Coffers, mm-hmm. I think currently is almost $100 itself.
It's $110 in moose money.
So yeah, so like you could strip this down and still have a really, really fun deck for probably half the budget.
Yeah.
But
really, I think a lot of the budget is, like you said, the lands for sure. And there's a couple, like, you don't necessarily need Necromancy, which is getting expensive. You don't necessarily need the Rise from the Dark Realms or the Shieldred.
Yeah, when you take those out, like I said, you could probably make a deck in this style for, you know, $150 to $200. You could have a really, really cool Rakdos Sacrifice the World control deck. Rakdos control is an interesting way to play the game for sure.
You can feel free to slot in a Rakdos charm like a bad person. That's what I would do. That's what I would do.
Rakdos charm is brutal.
Super.
Yeah, like
super brutal.
Like the Phyrexian Altar is also $50 boost money. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that much, is it?
Yeah, that's what I just bought one for.
Phyrexian Altar?
Yeah.
Oof. It is like $45.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah,
buddy, I have a lot of those. You should have told me.
Don't get me wrong. Like all that kind of stuff, like, it does add up, and it obviously adds value. But like, this deck doesn't need to be super expensive,
no.
Which is awesome. So I think it's a really, especially like, let's say, I think a lot of people right now, and I've noticed that a lot of people that either are new to Magic or new to Commander are really getting into it with Commander Legends appropriately. Mm-hmm. So if you mm-hmm. see like a couple of uncommon commanders, you're like, ooh, like, this is 50 cents. It's kind of cheap. It's easy to get in on the ground floor here. Like, it's nice to have options that are a little bit more budget friendly when you're like getting into a new
even as an experienced player, it is nice to have a budget deck every now and then, right?
Yeah. Like,
obviously I was on the episode, I've heard what the deck does. I'm not saying, hey, this is a jump in with your new friends and play this deck, because
it'll
salt so many people.
Here's the thing though, I do whatever you want.
Some people think it's hilarious to play that way.
I had a guy yesterday be like, yeah, I'm just getting into Commander, but I really like the idea of black land destruction. I'm like, you're cool guy. He's a pretty cool guy. That's a cool place. I'm like, all right. I'm like, sir, let's do this. Sir, the door is open. I'm like, people aren't going to like it, but I'm absolutely going to help you with this.
It cracks me up. I remember when we were first talking about spoilers in our group chat, and the first thing that, like, you know, you've got Dan talking about the turtle, and you've got Brian talking about Jen, and I was like, guys, did you see Keska and you see Jarko?
Yeah.
These guys are insane. I absolutely love building around uncommon legendary creatures. When those came out in Dominaria, that was like, I needed all of these built.
That's what I was saying. Like, this was like Dominaria 2 Electric Boogaloo with the legendaries. And I was so stoked about it. Because having that stuff, it just gives you so many more options. I love that all these boys have partner.
Well, even mm-hmm. like a grand majority, when we were doing our episode last week, we were just like, this isn't uncommon.
Yeah.
Hope was saying that this morning. She was yelling, Slurk is an uncommon.
Yeah, that's true.
And then she was yelling, Slurk has partner.
There's so many of my personal decks that I'm like, when I was talking to a couple of my friends that I have on my little notepad on my phone that I've been drafting ideas for, and I was looking, a lot of them are just uncommon partner pairings because they're just that good. Or like, you know, switching between here are my two partner pairings in this deck, but it can also be this creature in the same colors from Commander Legends. That's also an uncommon.
Commander Legends has given me a bunch of new silly things that I'm going to be building. Like I said, I have 11 on the table I'm working on.
I've got like 5.
I've got some ideas in the tank. Yeah, I hope to make it a few decks too.
You know, something to also kind of bring up too is like, these aren't overpowered commanders by any means. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, the deck I built, I'm very confident in, and I think it's very good. But, like, on their face, these two commanders together.
You know what?
They don't do.
Sorry to instant you here. No. one of the things that I did, I found myself looking at this while you were playing. We've had a shift to playing more online for most people than in person.
Yeah.
And I've been looking, and this is something that isn't going to be too hard to playing something that's permanent control is going to be really hard over a webcam. Yeah. Whereas this is, you're like, okay, I'm going to take it, swing, sacrifice it, it's done. So this is a very playable over webcam thing. And that's, I've just been finding myself looking more and more of that. Like I love Norn the Wary. You can't play Norn the Wary over webcam. It doesn't. No. You can't confusion in the ranks on the webcam.
No, that it just like doesn't. It just doesn't work.
You know what helps that though?
What?
Infinity tokens.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't infinity token that one. Everyone would need infinity tokens.
Yeah, that's very true. But I have to say, like, with this coming out, a lot of the cards and everything, like, you can build a lot of fun decks. Like, it's not like a bunch of like super competitive things that have come out. They're just
the meta hasn't just been like slapped across the face. It's just been like,
I do enjoy that they brought back more pirates actually.
That was Ryan on Monday morning. He's just like, hope really likes to sing that song. Hey,
no, but like, I'm just really like, there's just so much fun stuff, and like, I'm just really happy that it's nothing that's just going to salt everyone. Like, I didn't really hear people complaining about this set.
Listen, if you have any complaints about Zach's deck of the Lie, Cheat, Steal, Kill, and Win, buy yourself a Homeward Path.
Yeah.
It's a land that gives you all your creatures back.
Oh, I want
that. Hope, go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing about this is I really like that, seeing the way that Zach built Dargo and Keska, because I never would have. And that's something that we also kind of were chit-chatting about this morning, is that like, I'm pulling things out of our pile of uncommon partner commanders, and I'm like, I want to build this, and I want to build this. And Daniel's like, it's very weird to see what you choose, because I would never.
I never would have put Dargo, the Shipwrecker, and Keska together. Like, like I said, as soon as I saw this card, I wrote it off as an unplayable card and had no interest in it until Zach started building. And then I saw its value, and I was like, this is pretty cool. This is
That's
cool
just because Daniel's not very good.
Yeah, Daniel sucks at Magic. You're bad at Magic.jpg.
Wow.
Anytime I see a legendary creature that has as an additional cost or has like a sac outlet on the creature, it's instantly super powerful. Me no matter building, what you do with it.
Me building this deck. All right, guys. So land base, we have Diamond Valley.
Yeah, well, you're a piece of garbage. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. I almost put Diamond Valley in this, but I was like, well, we're talking about it on the podcast. Like, I mean, you can see I do have a Badlands. I didn't actually put the one that's got a value on it. This one is just like no value because I didn't want people to see like
to spike the value
cost. Yeah. But yeah, if you've been playing a while, like, or if you want proxies, like I'm putting my Diamond Valley proxy in this deck because it's good.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to have a Diamond Valley.
Live your life, fam.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
I'm not your supervisor.
Yeah, I don't think the Diamond Valley sacrifice is what people are going to be upset about when they play this.
Let's be real.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be that you're taking my stuff.
I'm just saying the seas are salty with this one.
Okay, well,
This isn't the Going Merry, guys. This is a completely different ship we're on.
I have no interest in allowing Daniel to make any more comments. So, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We do stream every Tuesday. Do you stream any other days, boys? So every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. As well, our podcast comes out every Sunday at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Check out our Patreon, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine, and our Discord. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.